In the first century, the gospel of Jesus Christ spread from Israel into surrounding countries. Of course, printed Bibles weren't carried. In fact, there wasn't access to any form of modern communication. Instead, God used a surprising cast of characters who traveled on foot. Their courageous story, crossing into unfamiliar territory, many times in the face of opposition, is an inspiration to us all. Today, on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Acts chapters 15 and 16. He titled his message, Traveling as Paul Traveled, and we begin with prayer.
We thank you, our Father, for your Son, who is the fairest, Lord Jesus, the ruler of all nature, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Him we cherish, and Him we honor. He's our soul's glory and joy and crown. The meadows are fair, and the woodlands are fair, and they're robed in the blooming garb of spring, but Jesus is fairer. He's purer. He makes the woeful heart to sing. Thank you, Father, for meeting our every need and for touching us deeply where no surgeon's scalpel can ever reach, deep within the folds of our soul and the scrolls of our spirit. You touch us and you heal us and you add balm to our wounds and you relieve our minds of the cares of this age. Some today sit in this gathering feeling mistreated and misunderstood. You understand, your Son went through all of that. Some are in a situation that is borderline unbearable. You understand, your Son died in that kind of situation. Thank you for slipping your almighty hand into our hearts and encouraging us with your truth. Thank you for your spirit that moves among us without concern for rank or gender or age or level of maturity or past sins or present pain. You look beyond it all, Lord, and you meet our needs. He's the beautiful Savior, the Lord of the nations. Glory and honor, praise and adoration be unto him now and forevermore. Watch over the needs of this ministry, and may your Son be the exalted one more than any other person. From beginning to ending today, may you be exalted in the message that will be delivered, and in the songs that are sung, and in this offering that is now taken. We pour out ourselves before you, holding nothing back. We ask that we might be lost in the wonder and love and praise of our fairest Lord Jesus, in whose glorious name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the life of the Apostle Paul on your own, be sure to purchase our Searching the Scriptures Bible Study Workbook by going to insight.org/workbooks. Now let's pick up our study in Acts chapter 16. Chuck titled today's message, Traveling as Paul Traveled.
He goes through the Taurus range of the mountains outside Tarsus, and he goes on, we read, to Derbe and to Lystra. And it's in Lystra he meets a young man. It's fascinating. A disciple was there named Timothy. First mention of Timothy in the scriptures. Timothy, that's the same one who got the letter later in Paul's life. And he's the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer and his father was a Greek. And so Paul wanted him to go with him. There was something I'm not going to say fascinating. There was something intriguing. There was something of a soul brother with Timothy. Paul meets Timothy, and he wants this young man to go with him, verse 3. And they're passing through cities, verse 4. Doesn't tell us what cities. Verse 6, they pass through the Phrygian and Galatian region. You don't know where that is, and I didn't either. So we turn and look. Phrygian, see it? Galatian, see it? And they're thinking, knock on that door. We're going to go here and give the gospel. But they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. You've had that experience. You think, I'm going to go to such and such a place, and while I'm there, I'm going to have a chance to share Christ. You go, and you don't have a chance to share Christ. The door closes. But the Lord isn't through. Verse 7, after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia. The Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Now look at the map again. They go to Mysia. They go to Bithynia. Where is Bithynia? There it is. They try up there, and the door, you know, bang, bang. You hear the door slamming shut. And they go all the way to Troas. Now, we're not told what Paul thought, how he felt, or how Silas, or how Timothy felt. It must have been strange. Before, when they went to these places, man, they got right into the synagogue, and it wasn't long before they were sharing the Lord. Here, closed doors, closed doors. Closed doors are tough, but you know what? They're also clear. The answer is no. Sometimes that's helpful. We don't want to hear it, but sometimes it's very helpful. No. 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 Four doors slam. Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, Bithynia. Passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul at night. Doesn't say it appeared also to Silas. I take it Paul alone saw the vision. Before the scriptures were complete, God communicated his will, sometimes in visions, sometime in dreams. Visions came at night. Dreams could come at any time. And in this case, the vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia. Look, map. Every time you see a place, look for the map. And look across the Aegean Sea, you'll see Macedonia right over there on your left. See it? So he's got to go across the Aegean to get there. But while Paul is at Troas, he sees a vision and a man, never identified. Someone said it was Dr. Luke. I don't read Dr. Luke. It says a vision appeared to Paul, so we don't know who brought the vision. Be careful about getting more specific than the scriptures are specific. You don't need to know who the person is. It's a man who appears to Paul and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul, all of a sudden, must have realized that's why those doors slammed shut. That's why we weren't able to go to the Phrygia region or the Mysian area or the Bithynian area. God brought us all the way to Troas so we could go beyond what had been our plan. He just wanted to go to the other churches where they had visited before. But God's plan was to take him much further than that. And so it's exactly what he does. When he had seen the vision immediately, don't you love that? It's one of the great things I love about Paul. There's no wrestling, no struggle. Oh, Lord, I get seasick when I have to go on a boat. I'm not sure I can do that. Oh, Lord, that's a long ways from home. Or I'm not sure we have enough money and we ought to do that. No. Vision said go. They did it. So we sought to go to Macedonia. Now, I said in the scripture reading, and I'll repeat here, that's where Luke joins the group at Troas. Luke probably at that time, if he hadn't earlier, gave up his practice, medicine. He's a physician, and he decided he would travel with Silas and Paul and Timothy. So we've got four of them going over to Macedonia because Paul concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them, us, including Luke. So putting out to sea from Troas, I just love this. This is a map. We ran a straight course to Samothrace. You can see it. I can't because it's not on my map. But you may be able to see Samothrace. I've got Neapolis here. I've been there. It's a coastal city. It's at the northern region of the Aegean, and they got to the coastal city, so they're in Macedonia, and from there they were led to go to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. Wow. Now, if we had time, we would go into the details of Philippi. You could do that. When you're reading your Bible and you come to this place you've never been, and you don't know much about it, you don't know what leading city of the district of Macedonia means, get a Bible dictionary. Look up Philippi. And it'll give you several paragraphs that describe, first, why it's called Philippi. And it'll explain to you what a leading city means. And I'll leave that for your own study. But he was in a significant city. And while he's there, the Lord opens the door through a woman named Lydia, who is a seller of purple, and she is from the city of Thyatira, which is over on the Asian side, and where they had just been. But she's now in Philippi, and she opens her heart, and it leads to a meeting time, and before you know it, there's a church that's founded in the city of Philippi. This is all part of God's leading. Paul really traveled well. I don't mean he traveled in luxury. I mean he traveled in obedience. So led of God that when he got to Philippi and the door opened, he thought, this is it. This is where we should be. So he shared Christ while he was at Philippi. It led to, it's a great scene. It led to some real persecution. Verse 22, Acts 16. The crowd rose up together against them. The chief magistrates tore their robes off them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. Whoa! I thought this is where God wanted us to be. It is. But we're beaten with rods. That's part of it. When you are going through turmoil, difficulty, persecution, hardship, it does not necessarily mean you're out of his will. It could mean you're right in the nucleus of his will. Don't forget that. Lesson learned in the travels with Paul. Beaten them with rods, and when they had struck them with many blows, stop. Picture that. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So here they are with bleeding wounds that haven't been washed and cleaned up. Here they are with their feet in stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Is that great or what? What did they sing? Probably one of the Psalms. They knew them from heart, by heart. Hey, Silas, you take the tenor. Let's harmonize. And a mighty fortress is our... Well, not that one, because that came later, but... Oh God, our help in ages past. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit. And he put my feet on a rock and established my going. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and trust in Jehovah. Psalm 40. Maybe they sang that. And the prisoners were listening to them. I'll bet. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. Escape time! Nope, look at this. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. Paul cried out and said, "Don't do harm to yourself. We're all here." Why is he there? That's where the Lord wants him. I need to lead you to Christ. Jailer doesn't harm himself. He says, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." He called for the lights and rushed in and trembled and with fear and fell down before Paul and Silas. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord together, who were right there, and with all who were in his house. And he took them that very night and washed their wounds. They did all of that with unwashed wounds. Would you have done that? I mean, if that earthquake had opened the doors, wouldn't you have run? I'd have run like a spotted ape. Whew! Out of there. Let that jailer take care of himself. But I tell you, Paul's mentality was not on himself. wasn't about Paul's comfort. Who cares about the wounds? I got a chance to lead this man, his family, to Christ. And he does. That's part of the reason all the doors closed and they went to Troas. And the man from Macedonia said, come over and help us. There was a jailer God had in mind. And when you travel as God would have you travel, like Paul, you're sensitive to doors that open and doors that close and people that are ready and people who aren't. And I like the last part of this story. This is Paul at his best. 35, when day came, the chief magistrate sent the policeman saying, release those men. The jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the chief magistrates have sent to release you. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. Paul said to them, they have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans. They have thrown us into prison, and now they are sending us away with security? No way. Or no indeed, as it reads here. But let them come themselves and bring us out. Isn't that great? Hey, they put us in here. I want to see them come here. Eat a little crow, come here, let us out. I want to watch that. Policeman reported these words to the chief magistrates. They were afraid. Boy, talk about a switch. Paul's supposed to be afraid because he's a prisoner. But now he's got the magistrate afraid. Paul told him he's a Roman citizen. The guy didn't do his homework, mistreated him. They were afraid when they heard that they were Romans, and they came. And you can see them, hat in their hand. You're free. They appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. Please, please, leave. When they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. By the way, see the city of Philippi? The letter to the Philippians went to these people after Paul had founded that church. The letter to the Thessalonians went to these people at Thessalonica, where Paul spends about, well, at least 3 weeks, probably more like six. Verse 3, explaining and giving evidence that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead. This Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Messiah. When you read the word Christ, it always means anointed one, which is rendered frequently Messiah. So you need to know, Jews, that this one is Messiah. If any Jew ever ask you if there's any place in the scriptures where Jesus is called Messiah, there you go, right there. Jesus is the Christ. I'm proclaiming to you he is the anointed one. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. That's the beginning of the church in Thessalonica. Is this fun or what? He said he waited for the man for the vision. The vision said, come over to Macedonia. They go to Philippi, and all that happens. Then they get to Thessalonica, and he finds these people, and this is great, but don't think persecution wasn't near. Verse 5, but always notice the connectives. But, so, therefore, then, as a result, here's but. This is contrast. All these other people are believing, but the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacking the house of Jason. And verse 8, they stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. Now notice the brethren are watching out for Paul's safety. Some unknown brothers. The best part of the story is the people that aren't even named. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Map, Berea. Go to west, young man. From Thessalonica, out west, Berea. I love the Bereans. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now look, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Always do that. I don't care how charismatic, I don't care how gifted the teacher may be, I don't care how big the crowd or how sincere the person may sound, always check what is being said with the scriptures. Always check it with the scriptures. A good builder uses a ruler, uses a tape measure. An inch is an inch. He doesn't go by how he feels. He marks it off by the inches and by the feet. The scriptures are the ruler, and these people went to the scriptures. They only had the Old Testament scrolls. So they went to the Old Testament, and they checked against the scriptures to see whether those things are so. When you took geometry in high school, the triangles had to be congruent. As you grow in your spiritual life, the triangles still need to be congruent between verbal and written. If it can't be supported in the scriptures, walk away. Don't believe the teacher. If it contradicts the scriptures, don't go back. The scriptures become the guide, and they checked every day to see whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men, founding of the church at Berea. I could go all the way through this story and show you it one after another, but just another little part here, and we'll get to the end of this journey. Verse 13, when the Jews of Thessalonica found out the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul in Berea, they came there as well. Don't think because you were criticized in one place and you move, they won't follow you. Critics are omnipresent. They are there. If they didn't like you there, they're not going to like you here, especially if you're successful, especially if people are believing the message. Critics of the message try to silence the message in every way they can. And here's a case in point. These people came from Thessalonica over to Berea, and they agitated and stirred up the crowd, and immediately the brethren, unnamed, sent Paul out to go as far as the sea. What sea? Look at the map. It's the Aegean. See, Berea, it's not a coastal city, but they took him down to the coast, and they're going to take him out to sea, down to Athens. But I want you to note something. Immediately the brethren sent Paul out to go as far as the sea. Silas and Timothy remained there. So Silas and Timothy stay at Berea. Paul escapes. Now those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they left. By the way, you won't read any we or us. Luke also stayed, which means Paul is alone in Athens. Alone in Athens. That'd make a sermon, wouldn't it? In fact, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. Athens was the intellectual center of the world. Corinth, the artistic coastal town. But Athens is the city of philosophy, the city of the academy, the city of early democracy, and is a city full of idols. One of the Athenian poets wrote that there were more idols in the city than there were people. Can you imagine? You may have never been in a city like that.
As we learn about the ancient city of Athens, we can point to contemporary cities that are strikingly similar. And as we watch Paul engage with proud intellectual elites in his day, we can discover a model for connecting with academics in our times as well. You're listening to Insight for Living and the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He's conducting an in-depth study on the life of Paul. Stay with us because Chuck will share a closing comment in just a moment. First, let me thank you for reaching out with your calls, online comments, and letters. June is a critical month for us, and your feedback, especially as we approach the end of our ministry year on June 30th, reinforces that God is using Insight for Living. Chuck is going to read a recent comment, and as he does, perhaps you'll think of what you'd like to share about your experience. Chuck?
Not long ago, we received a touching letter from Tammy. She wrote this: "Chuck, lately I've been spiritually dry. In fact, desert dry. Your messages were exactly what I needed to hear, and I've been inspired to persevere, no matter what." Well, Tammy, let me say this to you. You are not alone. We've all been to those parched places of discouragement. Nothing satisfies more deeply than taking a sip of living water from the Word of God. Reminds me of Jeremiah's reassuring words: "Those who trust in the Lord are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought." We know that Insight for Living has become a daily oasis for men and women just like Tammy,
who were longing for spiritual nourishment. And so, in light of that, I am asking you to respond generously today by giving a donation. Your gift before the 30th of June will make a critical difference. Would you join us in this mission to provide living water to all who are thirsty? Please follow these simple instructions and let us know that you're standing with us. Thanks very much.
To call us at Insight for Living, here's our phone number, 800-772-8888. And you can give online at insight.org/donate. If you'd like to send a check in the mail, address your envelope to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. In closing, let me remind you that Insight for Living has a number of great resources designed to help you dig deeper into the life of Paul. Paul shines a beacon of hope to those like Tammy who are losing hope. To read Paul's story, request Chuck's biography called Paul, A Man of Grace and Grit. In addition to Chuck's book, Insight for Living has prepared a spiral-bound Bible study called Searching the Scriptures. And of course, there's a full complement of audio CDs for this series as well. To purchase any of these resources, just call us at 800-772-8888 or follow the simple instructions at insight.org/offer. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues his biographical study of Paul, a man of grace and grit, Tuesday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Traveling as Paul Traveled, was copyrighted in 2001, 2003, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.